Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, it's not what we say Jesus is. It's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And it's so much, you know, it's easier these days to say a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? But it's the fruit and the action that really says it all. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus asks a really important question. I mean, Jesus is asking a question. Mm-hmm. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I mean, that's startling. If Jesus is going to ask you a question, I'm saying, I don't want it to be that one.
Yeah, not that one.
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, but you don't do what I say? And you can imagine, I mean, Jesus was talking to crowds all the time. I mean, people followed Jesus everywhere. They came from, I mean, long distances. They would travel for hours just to be in earshot of him. He was extremely popular. And we don't have to look past one particular account to really imagine what was it like when he shared, when he fed the 5,000. Remember that, when he fed the 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Those were 5,000 men that were gathered.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 besides women and children.
Right.
Wrap your mind around that. He healed them. He prayed for them. And you could imagine him. Some guy standing, I said, I'm not leaving until he touches me. I'm going to stay in this line.
Yeah.
There's 5,000 men, not including women and children. He had compassion on them. He prayed for them, healed them. Then the disciples said, you guys got to feed these guys here. This is, you know, they're a long way from home.
Yeah.
They traveled out here logistically. And so Jesus, you know, was familiar with crowds. There's a lot of people crowding and coming around the Lord. And think about it. There's still large crowds today surrounding the Lord,
mm-hmm,
that appear to be going after Jesus. And the truth is that you can fool some people some of the time. You may be able to fool yourself sometimes as well. But there's one person that you'll never be able to fool, and that is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an important question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And if it's true in the time of when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, if Jesus had to ask the question when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, believe me, I probably still think it's true for some today. That there are those who call Jesus Lord, and they say they're Christians, but they don't obey God's word. And I believe one of the reasons this is happening is because there has been a no lordship gospel being preached. And it basically says that, hey, listen, just accept Jesus into your heart. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loves you. Just accept him as your savior. And, you know, essentially, you know, that's all you got to do. I'm not really saying in all those particular words, but
mm-hmm,
don't worry about living for him or reading his word or obeying what he says, because all you have to do is just believe.
Right.
Think about that. Let me tell you, we need to preach the full gospel, the full message that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He is one. He is Savior and Lord. And listen, if you're not ready to accept him as Lord, then let me tell you, then you're not ready to accept him as Savior. You know what I'm saying? They're one and the same. It's like someone, it's like, you know, if you're not ready to be committed to only one person when you marry and you want to be with others too, you're not ready to be married.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're not ready to be married. What woman wants to be with a husband like that, and what husband wants to be with a woman like that, a wife like that?
Mm-hmm.
They call that thing, they call that an open relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you wouldn't settle for, if they wouldn't settle for that type of relationship, why do others attempt to have an open relationship with the Lord? You know, I'll take the blessings. I'll take the salvation. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Definitely don't want to go to hell. Definitely don't want, no, don't want that. You know what I'm saying? Do want you to get me out of my troubles. Love that. Love the healing. That's all cool.
All right.
But this Lord stuff, this eat my flesh, drink your blood stuff, this is where I'm having the dilemma. And let me tell you something. It's like we gotta preach all the letters in red. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And Jesus comes to take over. He's not an addition. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, Jesus said you can't have two masters. You can only serve one and despise the other. We share this often, but only 81% of believers, according to George Barna, this is staggering. 81% of Christians actually read the Word of God, and only 3% feel that they're responsible for their own spiritual development.
Right.
Contrast that to what Jesus says, that you should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not to mention that in Matthew 7, where it says that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell them plainly. I call that speaking English. I will talk to them plainly.
Right.
I never knew you. Away from me. This is Jesus. I encourage you to read the Word of God slowly.
Yeah.
You know, you can burn through, you know, just read through. No, this is not a speed reading exercise.
It's not a textbook.
No. If you have to, put your index finger on each word. You know, I used to read real fast. I had to slow myself down years ago and putting my finger on each word to really think about what's being said here. Away from me. You evildoers. A little extra there.
Okay. All right, right.
This is Jesus says. And we're seeing a pattern here that people don't have a problem saying, Lord, Lord. But let me tell you, God's not interested in what you're saying about his lordship. He's interested about what you're doing, the fruit in your life that shows that he is the Lord. And it's very simple. Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I'm going to say that again for you.
Do that again.
Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Wow.
The question is, how is your walk? God is not interested in your talking. He's interested in your walking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not about talking our way into God. This is about having a fruitful relationship. And Jesus, he just asked the question. This is important. He asked the question. Why do you say to me? Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, it's not what we say who Jesus is, but it's what's happening in, you know, it's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And, you know, Jesus asked a question. He said, man, why do you call me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? And it's so important because your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And God's not interested in what we're talking. He's interested in how we're walking, right?
That's right.
And the question is, why do we do this? You know, why do you do this? And this is a question really based out of love. If you understand God's heart, he's asking in our heart. He wants us to think about this. He wants us to examine ourselves. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? unless, of course, you fail the test.
Mm.
I mean, this is the Apostle Paul talking. It's like, you know, he spoke English too. You know, he spoke English. He just put it out there plain. We gotta examine ourselves.
I think he spoke Greek.
Yeah, Greek, Hebrew,
Arabic.
Actually, Hebrew, but
you're right, Arabic.
But examine yourself. Now, I'd rather examine myself on this side of eternity than, you know what I'm saying? On the other side, it's going to be a little too late. I don't want to do that examination. But I want to do it on this side. And it's important to evaluate our walk. Is our walk matching our talk? With everything that's happening in America, I mean, almost every day, every week, we're seeing prophetic fulfillment around the globe. Especially in America. And we're seeing the judgment of God. And we know that the answer for America, you know, is not for the world to get right. It's for the church to get right first, right?
That's right.
If we do four things, then God will do three things. He already told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, one, and pray, two, and seek my face, three, and turn from their wicked ways, four, then I, God, will what? Hear from heaven, one, will forgive their sin, two, and will heal their land, three.
Mm.
We got to begin to what? Humble ourselves, right? Stop trying to get God to bless what you want to do. God will bless what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to bless our plans. He's going to bless his plans. And instead of asking God to approve of what you want to do, ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'll do it. The second thing is we pray. We have communion with God. We open the doors to fellowship. And when you pray, you're just simply communicating with God, which is a twofold experience, right?
Right.
Involves talking and listening. Right? Prayer positions us to hear what God wants to say. And many have reduced prayer to a laundry list of things for God to do. And God, could you do them quickly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have failed to recognize the great privilege of communing with God. And then what that does, it allows us, it positions us to be able to seek God's face. I mean, God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. So we're talking about seek his face. What is it, seek his face? Well, you'll never seek after God if you don't communicate with him, right? So you got to pray. But seeking his face means that you seek him with pure motives, that you're not seeking his hand, his provision, or what you want him to do for you, but you're eagerly seeking out the Father's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. You know, Paul said, this was Paul's confession, okay? Paul's confession of Romans 1:1. He says, I am a devoted slave of Christ. I'm a bondservant. Peter said the same thing in 2 Peter 1:1. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. They opened their letter saying, let me introduce myself to you. I am the slave of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In case you didn't know.
Right.
Let me make it plain. A devotion to, this is what a slave is. A devotion, what they're talking about, is a devotion to one, to another, without a regard of one's own interests. Listen to that. A devotion to another without a regard to one's own interests. When you encounter God, like we talked about yesterday, when you encounter Jesus, you just want to give yourself and say, listen, the life that I have, this little life, it belongs to you. It belongs to you.
Mm.
Why? Because God's will has become now your will. Because God's desires have become what? Your desires.
Right.
You've traded your dreams for guess what? His dreams. His dreams. In fact, his desires have become your dream. And we seek after his heart of love. And this is important. This is all good. All these first three are really nice, but it really has to end, right? This is where the walking gets walking. mm-hmm. right, is when we begin to turn, repent from wicked ways. This is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves the Holy Ghost party, right? Everyone loves the glory of God, but the glory of God don't come without, you gotta have repentance. And repentance is turning away from the sins. In fact, Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I mean, let this thing show up in your life, right?
Right.
And then what God's going to do?
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a company mandate a program that goes against one's faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My husband has told me that he has to go to mandatory diversity training. And I wondered, in this type of training, what theological beliefs do they try to usually impress?
It depends on the program. Some diversity training programs are fine, and others are very agenda-driven. What we need to do, and this is what he needs to do, is find the information about what's going to be contained in the diversity training program. Then if you go to aclj.org, look under the issues section, it'll say work-related matters, and there's all kinds of information about how you can opt out of a diversity training program if a particular aspect of that program violates your sincerely held religious beliefs. That's the standard there. So, Vanessa, the thing to do is get the actual what's going to be in the diversity training program. Take a look at our website at aclj.org. You should be in great shape from there. If you got any additional problem, you call us back and we'll get you some help, okay?
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us as Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
You know, when we get serious with God, what's going to happen? God's going to get serious with us. So he's asking the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do what I say? Listen, if we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then God, in response to our first action, God, in response to what we actually walked out, will respond back to us. And the first thing he says is, listen, I'm going to hear you. To have access to God, that he actually hears you, He hears your heart. He hears your prayer. He's going to hear us. Second thing he's going to do is going to forgive us. Let me say, the greatest need we have right now is for God to forgive us of the wickedness that we have done, right? Mm-hmm. And then he'll have compassion, right? He'll forgive us and he'll heal our land. And our land needs so much healing. But you know what? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. So he says, I will show you. Jesus, let me make it plain for you again. He goes on to say in Luke 6, I will show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. Right? He talks about a house, and he makes this comparison about a house that's built on the right foundation and then a foolish foundation. When he talks about the house being built on the right foundation, he says this house has a foundation that when the storms come, when the torrents come, when the winds come to take it out, it stands in the end. But then there's, you know, a foolish builder, right, who builds on a house with no foundation. Let me go back and say this, that if you build your house on the right foundation, the spirit, your spiritual house, if you build the foundation on Jesus Christ, it's, listen, the storm reveals what your house made out of. Mm-hmm. But then there's a foolish builder, right? You have two options. It has, you know, he didn't build on a foundation. And the thing about it is that it has an outward appearance. People have an outward appearance that your spiritual house is in order, but in reality, it's all a facade. Your house has no foundation. It's built on weak, shifty sand. And when the storms come, when the torrent wind comes, your spiritual house collapses in on itself. So Jesus is making it clear, listen, don't call me Lord, Lord. Don't play church. Don't have religion. Don't hang around the cross, right? Get on the cross. Don't say, Lord, Lord, and you're not even following. You have no relationship with me. You're not putting my words into practice. You're talking, but you're not walking. You're merely fooling yourselves because there's a time coming. There's a wind that's coming. There's a storm that's coming to your life. And if you don't know me, just knowing about me, being familiar with me is not going to be enough. You got to build your house on the right foundation. Mm-hmm. And he's giving us a loving warning. We can't give God lip service because in the end, both these houses look alike. But what's going to happen to the house that's not built on the right foundation? And many today have settled for a form of godliness. It's a form, just a little bit of Jesus, just enough religion, just enough to blend with the crowd, and they have staked their eternal life on that. And then they keep building on it. They keep building and building, married, kids, careers, everything, religious stuff, but they didn't really truly encounter God, never lived totally surrendered to him. And in the end, when you realize that it was all for naught, it was all a waste. When the storm comes, you really find out what your house is really made out of. And how many homes have been destroyed, literally destroyed, and you're literally holding on to broken 2x4s and busted windows and doors. And it's a sad way for it all to end. And that's why we can take heed to what Jesus is saying. He's warning us. He's asking us the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I want to encourage you that if you call him Lord and you're doing what he says, then when the wind comes and you've made Jesus your foundation, you will stand and you will remain in Christ. You will remain in Christ. We have a choice today. We have a choice, church. We have a choice, church. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to build on a solid, true relationship with Jesus Christ on the rock? Or are we going to build on sand and have a facade of a relationship? I want to tell you something. There's nothing like building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that matters, and he'll be faithful to the end.
Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Cordova Lanes. The weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. In Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall, visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, say you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University.org. And explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed mm-hmm. God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
You know, being from Detroit, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on, you know, from New Jersey or, you know, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football up there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. They got hockey. Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, like, hockey rules. They got an mm-hmm. app on, like, how to make ice. They got an app about, you know, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow.
Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
But really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now yeah. Talk to me. That's talk the app I want.
Yeah, tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey got to check this out. Go on iTunes. Go on your Android and type in VFNTV. And you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now. The daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFN TV with you on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Understand this, that when you go with God, you're going to go against the grain. You know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. And understand this, that do you want to go on the wide road or do you want to go on the narrow road? Listen, God wants everybody to be on the narrow road. But
that's,
but that's Jesus saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, Howard Pittman wrote his book, The Placebo Gospel. You know, and I don't know how much time we have, but right, coming to this. I want to share this. You had a moment? Can I share this with you?
Yeah.
Howard Pittman, he wrote this book, and we want to share with you, you know, things that we've experienced so that you can just hear it. I can just download it to you right now, and you can hear it. So you can read it. It's Howard Pittman's Placebo Gospel. And in this, he was a sheriff. Oh, he was an officer, and he just started a ministry, pastoring a church for about maybe 2 or 3 years. You know, these are all variations. You can, you know, the exactness of these things, and that he decided that he felt like he was supposed to run for sheriff. You know, and so he's serving God. He's pastoring a church, John, a traditional church. It's a building. He's showing up. He's pastoring it. And so he feels like, you know, this is what I'm doing for God, you know. And then, but he feels supposed to run for sheriff as well. So he's out running to a particular supporter, and he's going to stop by their house because they're going to give him support for his office or something. And then all of a sudden, he has a heart attack. I think about the James 4:15. Somebody says, "What time is it?" We always go, "It's always 4:15," which means my plans are subject to change anytime God wants them to. He says, "A man should always say, if it's in God's will, this is what I'll do." And so, and what happened was Howard Pittman had a heart attack, and next thing you know, he's on the operating table, and he leaves his body, and he dies on the operating table, and he goes. An angel comes and escorts him to heaven. And he's literally watching this whole transaction of people that have been saved, that have died, that are going to the throne room of God. And he looks over at a certain number of people, and it's just like maybe 100 people or so that are going to the throne room of God. And he goes, "What are those people over there?" And the angel goes, "These are people that were saved." He goes, "That's wonderful." And he goes, "No." He says something like 2,700 just died.
Wow.
You know, and the numbers, I'm pulling the numbers, you know, and you can verify this with the book, the exact numbers, but it was just a horrendous difference of those who, and you understand, they died too, but they did not go to heaven. They went to hell. Mm-hmm. And so it was just rocking his paradigms, you know, and he's like, "Oh," and he says, "So, can I go with him to go to the throne room?" And the angels tell him, no, not for that. And so he brings him to a throne room outside of a doorway of God's throne room, if you would, like just a doorway kind of thing. And he is standing to the side. The angel kind of put him to the side. He didn't see God. And he knows, he feels like he's about to see God. He's going to talk to God. And so he has this whole list. He's literally got a paper list that he's writing or wrote, and he's going to explain to God. He's going to explain to God why he needs to run for sheriff. It's like, dude, you're in heaven, man. Why would you want to go back and run for sheriff? Come on. And so he's got this whole list of explaining to God why he feels he needs to go back to be able to do what he feels he's called to do. I mean, you're God telling God what God's called you to do, right? That's something. And so all of a sudden, as he's tucked away, hidden behind this door threshold thing, and, you know, he can't see God. He just knows God's behind that thing. And all of a sudden, imagine every single storm you ever heard at the very same time, just like, just imagine this huge, huge sound. And it was the voice of God. And he says in his book, he's writing this, he says, "And I dropped my list." What happened was that he realized that he had totally done it all wrong. He had done it all wrong. Even though he was a minister, even though he was a preacher, even though he had a church, he was all wrong. And he realized at some point, and so he heard this big sternness of God voice that came out that just totally crushed him in the concepts of all of his ideas and concepts. And as he began to humble himself, And then the other kindness part of God began to relate to him and comfort him. So it had the kindness and the sternness of a father. And it just whole encounter and his whole paradigm just instantly just shook. And all this religion is thrown out. And let me tell you right now, if you're listening and you're all caught up in the religion, just walk away from religion. Listen, you could be standing there like Howard was and with all this religion in your pocket and have to drop it down, and it meant nothing to God, you know. And it's about doing what God says to do in the right way. And so he realizes that when God, he comes back into his body, you know, I'm actually moving this quickly, but it's Howard Pittman's book, the Placebo Gospel. And a placebo, let me explain what a placebo is for those that might not know what a placebo is. If they're going to have a new medication, they're going to try it out, and they're going to see if it works or not. They'll take 10 subjects, for example, or say 100 subjects, and 50 of them they will give the new medication to, and 50 of them they'll give like a sugar pill to, something that's nothing, and it's called the placebo. And then they'll measure the results of what happens to these individuals. And, of course, the placebo is nothing. But they're trying to find out, if I give them the medicine, the other 50 the medicine, will they be any different than the people who had the placebo? And they can measure that way whether this medicine works or not. And sometimes they find out that the placebo has some things that take place, but it doesn't do the job, you know. And the book's called The Placebo Gospel. And there's a gospel being preached that it's a placebo gospel. There's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing there. And it's been done so well, and it looks like the pill, and it sounds like the pill of the gospel, but it's not the right one, because there's no doing involved in the aspect of it. You know, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And so Jesus called them to himself, then he sent them out from him. And then he said, go and do likewise. And so, you know, with that, he makes it back, you know, to his body. And he's so sorrowful for all of his life to that point. And he basically, I believe he reasoned with the Lord of saying that, if you just give me a little bit more time, I'll make this right. And so he goes back. When he comes back to his body, he spends the rest of his life traveling the world, telling everybody about the true Jesus, the true God, the kindness and the sternness of God, that it's not some religious whatever. It's not trying to please men. It's pleasing God, that it's an intimate relationship. Truly, there's an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. You know, this is the reason why we call him holy and righteous and mighty, and that, you know, understanding that he preached this all over the world, and so many people had come to know God. He left all that religion behind, and he got it, and God gave him mercy to come back to do things right. And so I just want to encourage you that repentance, when we were talking about that in the first hour, and we're talking about it even in this extra hour today, that understanding this journey is you got to change everything. You got to change everything, and you got to want to do it. And understanding that you want to do it is because you want to be with Jesus. You find out he loves you. You know, it was real tough when he heard the sternness of God, but he melted when the kindness of God began to comfort him. You know, for example, if you have a child that you have to spank that child, it's the last thing you want to do, or discipline that child. But after you finish disciplining them, then you comfort them. And it helps the child understand what's really going on, you know, and that's what God was doing to him, the kindness and the sternness of God. And so in that, he talks about the statistics of Jesus. You know, you study the statistics of Jesus and the message that he preached, because you think about it, that was Jesus was by himself when he first started. You know, the Father was with him. And then he progressively was with 12, correct?
Right.
And he trained these 12 up. He relayed these 12. He spent time with these 12. And he just walked day-to-day life with them. And then he sent them out like sheep amongst wolves, mind you. That's dangerous out there. Yep, wolves, eh? It's like wolves. And so then he sends them out, and then they come back to him, and they report about what they have done. You know what I'm saying? What happened, you know? And then he goes from the 12, and then he goes to 72, and he sends the 72 out after being with them. And then at the end, when he is with the Father, and he says, I want you to go and tarry, there was 120 in the upper room. Think about it. 120 was in the upper room at that point. I mean, thousands of people were interested in Jesus. People were receiving from Jesus. People were getting healed and people getting delivered and people getting fed that were hungry. But when Jesus turns around, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Everybody except the disciples started leaving. These are people that he healed, that he delivered, that he provided for. He's so loving and he's so kind. But it boils down, you got to know him. You got to know this Jesus, you know, and he loves you. But you can't, it's, don't buy into religion. There's religion. You can have religion. There's so much religion all over the world. And what's happening right now, religion is coming to a crescendo across the earth. And you're going to see religious battles go on. But you understand that it's not about religion with Jesus. It's about a relationship. And it's about a family. You know, God, the Father God wanted a family, so he sowed a son. And families have fathers and mothers, and we're sisters and brothers, and we're supposed to lay down our life for each other and live our life together. And people are supposed to fear coming amongst our number, and there should be a difference. You know, there's one thing we have about, you know, talking about some of our gatherings, that we see people that come in with wrong tensions, wrong motives to come amongst us. But we don't have to worry about that because we see what God does. I mean, we literally had somebody that came and they were coming with wrong intentions to be able to harm somebody that was in one of the gatherings. And just like you read in the book of Acts, that all of a sudden they began to choke. They began to get, and for literally for almost, they had to leave. They literally just left. They could not stay in the presence of God. And the only thing the church was doing was just raising their hand and worshiping God and just nothing, no hype or nothing. But God's presence was so strong that God dealt with whatever he needed to deal. He knew the motives of people's hearts. And that person today, we understand now, is serving the Lord. Is that not awesome?
Wow, totally awesome.
Totally amazing. Awesome. I think about another situation. This is how the church is supposed, this is how the fullness of how we're supposed to be. I mean, you read the book of Acts, it's not a history book, it's an operation manual. But we're sitting, we're at a gathering, a VFM family gathering, and we're eating. We always eat when we come together. I mean, just like you read in the Word. And so a particular visitor comes that particular day, maybe a couple of visitors, I don't know. But this one was actually a leader in a kind of a traditional church setting. He's actually over the young people. He was over the young people. He said he was over the young people in that particular church. And so church gathering. And so he begins to tell us, and we're just eating and loving on him and all the different things. Everybody's having a great time, and we begin to worship God. And he actually even tells us that we're doing that wrong. Remember that? And so, you know, you don't have to impress anybody. Listen, when you're in the church, you don't care what people say. You know, it really doesn't, you know, you love them, but you're not defining yourself. But he's like, really? Because if you walk with God, and you see him in your life, and you know that he's real, and you know that you abide with him on a daily basis or spend time with him, you know, on a regular basis, that you're not concerned about all the other stuff. And so he immediately goes from explaining to us and, you know, how worship was supposed to be done, and God's presence just enveloped the place. It totally just enveloped the place. And we're just, you know, just worshiping God, you know, and he begins to cry out and just weep and just cries out in front of all of us, and tears start pouring down his face. This is the one that was telling us, the person who's over the youth at a particular, and he starts crying out. He says, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. Is this not right? Did that?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a sinner. And they begin to cry out, and immediately there was a couple of men there that walked over with him, where everybody continued to worship, and they actually led him to a place of repentance and forgiveness, and his whole life, he was just totally freed. In that one moment, let me tell you something. Listen, there's a lot of religion going on, but not a lot of relationship. God wants you in a relationship. But really, it's because repentance is, like I said, you have to want to do it. But when you understand God's not religious, that he's relational, and things like this, you know, this is pretty cool. When you find out that all this stuff really happens, and people that are sick get healed, and people who are bound are delivered, and there's one other situation that's going on. I want to talk about this. You know, talking about VFN TV, you know, you can actually subscribe for free to VFN TV. You have access to it. There's a few things that you can get right now on your app or at VFNTV.com, but you're a free subscriber. You have access to everything. But one of the particular things that you'll find in VFN TV teaching is called Deliver Us from the Evil One. I mean, you think about it. You know, Jesus tells us how to pray. He says, teach us how to pray. And he's talking to the disciples, and he says, you know, of course, the Lord's Prayer that we talk about. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. So he asks us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. And so we talk about empty houses and open doors, and you can get that if you want to subscribe to VFNTV.com. But the anointing of God, this teaching was going forth through VFNTV broadcasting around the world, America at that time. And in one part of that, when I'm talking about, come out, to speak into the demonic. And I remember we were actually in a meeting, and somebody just grabbed somebody off the street and just brought them in without even considering the church, the sheep, and just brought in this whole bad situation into the church, which is in a whole another we didn't talk about in the future, is that they didn't want to be there, and they were carrying the things in the world on them, and that doesn't clash well when you have the presence of God there. So one particular man, he was actually fell asleep in the middle of the teaching on VFN TV. And everybody that's there is actually listening to what's going on, what's happening, is this word's coming forth. And all of a sudden, right there in the middle of that, when this guy's laying on his right arm, he's spread out in front of the church. And is this true?
Yes.
And he's all spread out, sleeping in front of everybody. All of a sudden, I point at that, out of that television, I'm pointing at the cameras. I'm so anointed what God is doing. He does this in his church everywhere, but we're telling you what's happening at VFN. And I just say, come out of him in Jesus' name. And immediately he went from a dead sleep. He shot, set straight up, and that demon left that man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Sure did.
Yeah, I remember that the particular lady that was sitting right beside her hair shot straight up on her arm and she slid across the room. That understanding that this is this, you understand, listen, you don't need fictitious things. You don't need bungee jumping. You just need Jesus. There's nothing more adventurous than to live for God and what's taking place. This is an adventure and all the things happen. There's people that are religious that just love, for some reason, they like being religious, but they don't want to follow God's way. So it's just real weird. You got those things going on, but you have in the core of that, you have people who actually want to follow God. They love Jesus and they want to walk with him. And Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it, you know? And so you think about that you'll want to walk with a God that when you read about him and you experience him, that everything he says he is, then you want to have that authentic, genuine relationship with him. There is just nothing like it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Joining me is John and the man who uses sissy straws.
Oh.
The sissy straws. I'm so glad we had an opportunity to be able to.
Who's
thanks,
that?
Thanks, John,
who's
for reminding me about that.
I reminded you.
Yeah. You know, speaking of sissy straws, we were going to a particular restaurant a couple years back when Pat didn't have gray hair. No. when he had hair.
Are we really revisiting this? Seriously?
Do you object to this?
Is it rhetorical? Do you want to answer?
Yeah.
We are. Of course. It was brilliant. It was so brilliant. As a matter of fact, that's not long enough. So we were going to go swing in there and kind of, talk about the Lord, pray a little bit, eat some grits and some grits.
Speaking of grits, don't forget to visit Just Fishing Grits,
right,
one of our sponsors and underwriter there
in Pensacola, Florida, right?
Pensacola, Florida, town and country.
It's there. That's a perfect match. That is a perfect. I mean, think about two things coming together: fish and grits. For me, cheese grits.
Oh yeah,
and fish.
They had a big old bucket there. People were tearing them up when I walked in. It was.
Did you get some? Take some home with you.
Get some.
No.
Wait a minute. He's changing.
But we're not deflecting. We're getting
back to the sissy straw,
Pat.
And so we're sitting here having this moment, and I don't know if you ever. Remember years ago, there was a program on TV when there was actually one channel. It was called Mel's Diner.
Yeah.
And there was a waitress there. Her name was
Flo.
This waitress we had, I'm telling you, she was dead set. I mean,
We found out when her TV show ended, we found out where she went to go get a job at. It was at this restaurant.
Yeah, we found her.
And we went in there and we're ordering some coffee and water and grits and eggs and that type of thing. And we're just, we're men. Mm. We're just ordering, give us some fat.
And some protein.
And some protein and some cheese on it. Some cheese on it. And Pat's like, "You have a latte? You have a latte here?" No.
Wow.
And so all of a sudden, she's taking orders. She's like, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she's about to walk away, and Pat says, "Could I have a straw?"
A straw.
He was judging that restaurant. He was totally
the glass.
Hey, listen, that food was free on that glass. Whoever bought that, I was already paid for. It was free. It was anyway. So listen, and so she turns around and she went flow on him.
Oh,
she went flow. I mean, you could tell. I mean, wisdom said alone. I mean, his discernment at that time wasn't as good as it is now. He walked right dab into the flow. You know what I'm saying? She turned around, her lip went up like elbows on one side. She looks at him, she drops her
smack
little...
Smack that gum at me.
Yeah, she took her pad and put it to her side. She says, "A sissy stick! Ooh. A sissy stick, right?"
Yes.
She's like... And he just shut down. You remember him that time? He was like, his brain doesn't work anymore.
In front of the whole
restaurant. Are you calling me a sissy stick user in front of this entire restaurant right here? A sissy stick. Can y'all believe it? Of course, we joined in. I can't believe he's using a sissy stick.
Yes,
we're not going to ask
I
for
want
a straw.
Sissy stick, yes.
Yeah,
can I please have one?
All right. He was like, "Duh, blah, duh, blah." That was so hilarious.
Well, did you get one?
Yeah.
Oh, you still got one.
You know him. He bowed up. Bring me my sissy stick.
Bring me two.
Bring me my sissy stick and my little umbrella and my drink too. That was flow.
That was all right.
It was amazing. It's true, is it not?
True story.
It's amazing. You should have seen the look on his face. His face dropped in his grits.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yeah, we mentioned yesterday we're going to talk about the currency in the kingdom of God. What is the currency in the kingdom of God? Of course, the ultimate currency is obedience, but what are you doing? What is the obedience? It's not just the word obedience, it's actually something you're doing. Well, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said the first things he's going to do is sit down and talk with men in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 5:6, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Listen, if you want God to move in your life, if you want to see the manifestation of the fullness of Christ and the kingdom in your life, you can't just say, "I'm going to taste only, but I'm not going to dine with God. I'm not going to just give myself fully to God and think you're going to have the full." How can you have a full experience with anybody, including God, if you haven't fully given yourself over to that? It takes all of you to have all of God. In desperation and hunger. You've been hungry for this, you've been desperate for that. But when you get hungry and desperate, I've got to have God. Everything's got to go. I've got to have God in my life. Lord, I'm on a quest here. And then that's when you're willing to start putting down distractions like media and things that are not light and light conversations, things, people and relationships. You're willing to do whatever it takes. You're willing to even put food aside. Listen, when you're willing to put food aside, read Isaiah 58. God will come and just converge with you in such a way that he will literally heal you, bless you, restore you, and even repair things that have been broken in your life if you get desperate after him. Mm-hmm. And on VFN TV, if it's not there, it needs to be there. You need to listen to. You go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN TV in the menu and listen to Desperate for the Glory of God. Desperate. And it's okay to be desperate for God. That's what he wants. It's just the longing like a bride would have to after a bridegroom. It's okay. Listen, God responds. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Somebody says, "Which city are you going to go to next to ministers?" Like, where there's hunger.
Yeah. That's right.
And somebody says, well, you know, they've got all this and all that. Is there hunger there? Is there hunger there? I'm not going to waste my time, because God's not going to move when you minister to a people who are not hungry for him.
Right.
That's right.
Some people go, look, nothing's going on when Jesus preached here in Nazareth. It's like, yeah, but you're not hungry for Jesus. You got to be hungry for him. You're the one. It's you. You control your destiny in the context. If you're willing to open up and be desperate for God, because the king, if you're a believer, the kingdom of God dwells inside of you, and you loose the kingdom when you begin to get hungry for God. The kingdom in you meets the kingdom in God, and Jesus rules over that. An explosion. Yeah, signs, wonders, miracles, but the love of God dripping off of you like honey from a honeycomb. The currency of God, desperation and hunger for God.
DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Oh my goodness, Auntie's. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north, and let your nose lead you the way. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC,
you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.